Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got to be honest with you. Like, you're in this first week. Have you guys ever had like a cross-country move? I've never had a move before where like it was so bam, bam in terms of you're moving and then you're there, right? And then you're starting immediately. I've always been able to have a kind of a situation where there were a few weeks in between. I was able to transition and everything like that. I almost prefer this because I just got kind of thrown into the fire this week, and I think it's been a blast, and I think it's been a ton of fun. But between you and me, and I'm curious if you guys have ever experienced this as well, like, I've woken up every single day this week not knowing where I am. I've woken up every single day this week with kind of this surreal feeling, like, what am I doing today? And I'll tell you, Lonzo, each day this week, so I'm coming from having been a school teacher and a host for Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Like, I've had this heart attack every single morning thinking I'm missing school. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, the time of day that I would wake up for school was right at the crack of dawn, like right at the crack of dawn. So whenever I see that hint of light coming through the window and it's not time for me actually to wake up yet in this particular job, but it was me being late in the last job. I don't know if you can relate to it, man, but I'm still getting over that. I'm still trying to stomach this change this week.
No, I have a similar experience in a couple ways. For one, I did produce a morning show for 14 years. So I still wake up at 4 a.m. every morning and go and have a brief moment of panic going, I need to get up and get going. And then I realize I'm not doing that anymore. And I haven't done that for 5 years, but still I do that. And you're talking about something new. You do realize this is all new for me too.
Because really? How, in what way?
Because, you know, you see the same person over and over again for almost 5 years. And former host Greg McKinney, and everything was set up a certain way and all this kind of stuff. So every day I'm coming in, I have no idea what's going to happen. So it's all new for me too. So you think it's just new for you, even though this is, I spend more time in this building than I do at home.
Yeah.
So this is like my house, but it's like you repainted everything and put all new furniture in there, and you're not used to the furniture yet, and you bump your leg every once in a while and you trip and that sort of thing.
Well, you know, if it's any consolation, and certainly I have big shoes to fill here with G-Mac. He did a fantastic job. I wish G-Mac the best in retirement. I haven't had the chance to meet him yet, but I hope I have the chance to do so.
He's probably on a cruise or something.
There you go. In fairness, Lonzo, if we're doing the kind of show that I want us to do here on Offsides, you'll never know what to expect coming in here. And you and I will become comfortable with the uncertainty over time, right? I mean, if we're doing the kind of show that we want to do, because I kind of love the ability to have a blank slate day in and day out on the radio. So be that as it may, I don't know if you guys can relate to that feeling or not. If you've ever moved cross country, you start a new job right away and you're just like, what is going on here? Right? I mean, what is going on? But in any case, it's great to be here with you guys today. We have, of course, as is typically the case here on Offsides, we have a jam-packed show today at 1:30, Taylor Estes from 247sports.com is going to be joining us. She full-time covers the Texas Longhorns, but I'll tell you, today we're going to talk about kind of a blueprint for beating Clemson. What is the blueprint? What do the Texases, the Floridas, the South Carolinas of the world have to do to get by Clemson? She's going to join us at 1:30. It's something near and dear to my heart, and it's no longer the same, and that pains me deeply. Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio show host, nationally. He joins us at 2:30. And he played in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers, star cornerback, now an NFL analyst for CBS Sports. Bryant McFadden joins us at 3:30. 3:30 Eastern time today. So, an absolutely loaded show for you guys coming your way. We'll also get to either or along the way. Bob Costas leaves NBC. That got me thinking about my favorite and least favorite announcers and much, much more coming your way 1 to 4 here this afternoon. I want to open, though, today with this kind of as an opening topic. We heard from Travis Johnson yesterday, and I asked Travis Johnson. Travis Johnson, of course, played for the Houston Texans in the NFL, played for the San Diego Chargers, was a defensive tackle, played in the ACC for Florida State. If you listened to the show yesterday, sometimes hosts make the mistake of assuming their listeners heard everything, but Travis was probably my favorite interview of the entire week. And I got the sense early in the interview that I could really ask him anything, and he would answer it candidly and honestly. I asked him what it's like for him to wake up today, what he feels like, what his body feels like, having played football for as many years as he has. Here's how Travis Johnson answered that.
Oh, I feel. I mean, this is on ESPN, so I can't curse. I was about to. I mean, every day is a fight, man. Every day is like my body feels like dog crap every day. My head hurts every other day.
Ugh.
You know, it's like people laugh because they see me go to the grocery store and I ride the little carts like the old fat ladies. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, you know, it hurts to walk around a grocery store.
Mm.
You know, it's like if I put certain shoes on my Achilles and my feet, like. Mm. That stuff, it's horrible. Would I do it all over again? You damn right. Would I allow my kids to do it? You dang right, I would. I no doubt in my mind I would. But at the same time, it's like I know what I got myself into, but I know right now it's every day is a struggle.
The words of Travis Johnson and kind of what he's been going through in his post-NFL playing career, and he and I are roughly the same age. No offense there, Lonzo. I think you're a little bit the elder statesman.
Oh, I'm a lot older. Yeah,
you're the elder statesman of the three of us. But Travis Johnson and I are around the same age. I'm 41, and I'd have to look up his age, but he's got the white goatee going on. I would imagine he and I are in the same age bracket. I followed him in college and watched him in the NFL, and so it's interesting. It's interesting to consider. You know, what he's been through and what he's going through today. And it just kind of has me thinking. And I kind of want to pose this question to you, and I want to answer this among us. I've been on record the last few years, Lonzo, as saying the game of football as we know it will not exist 25 years from now. And I realize it's the golden goose, and I realize the popularity of it, and I realize that it might be blasphemous for me to be saying this on ESPN Upstate in Northern South Carolina. But the reality of the situation is that they're trying to make a violent game nonviolent already with the rule changes that you see in the sport. Targeting in college football. You touch a quarterback in the NFL, it's a 15-yard flag today. They've done everything but remove kickoffs from the NFL. And guess what, Lonzo? Now that kickers are figuring out how to pooch it up high in the air, and they don't allow the opposing team to return it to the 25-yard line, they're going to tweak it again because kickers have found a way to bring the kickoff back, and the NFL doesn't want the kickoff to be part of football. They want the kickers booming it out of the back of the end zone every single time. In a few years, you know what you're going to see? The touchback move back to the 20-yard line, not the 25, to dissuade people from kicking it off at all. Right. So I'm observing the changes that are existing, that are going on here throughout football today. And we're aware of the fact that 95% of deceased players have CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, in their brains. And, you know, you've been light and fun and so forth. You're opening up heavy today. And it's just, you know, I open up with kind of what's on my mind. And Travis Johnson's answer to that question stayed with me last night. I was thinking about it last night. I was thinking about it this morning. Have we gotten to a point as a society? Have we gotten to a point as a society where we've just accepted, where we're educated now about the dangers of football, and we just accept it and we move on with it anyway? In other words, has football become smoking? Yeah, we're aware of the dangers. We're just going to keep doing it anyway. You know, we're aware now what it does. 10 years ago, Lonzo, I was feeling like people weren't educated on the dangers of football. 10 years ago, I was feeling like they weren't, you know, the information wasn't out there to the degree that it is right now, right? And now I feel like people are educated. My mom, 20 years ago, wouldn't let me play football. Well, that would make me 21, and why would she be telling me at 21 what to do? How about this? 26 years ago, my mom would not let me play football.
Makes you feel old, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does, man. Gosh. But at 14, 15 years old, I wasn't allowed to play football. Then again, I was a small fry who could be broken over somebody's knee easily. I wasn't allowed to play football, though. What do you think? What do you think? 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. You can get to us at ESPN Upstate, at MARC Ryan on Air, at Lonzo on Word is all the different ways you can get to us. You can also get to us on the Health Dare text line. Can you help me with that number there, Lonzo?
It's 71307. I have a question for you. Do you think football is an addiction? Because, you know, Travis said yesterday, and I agree with him completely, that if he had to do all over again, he would play again. And if his kids wanted to play, he would let his kids play. I had a few concussions when I played. My son wanted to play. It was actually suggested by his teachers that he play to get rid of some of his aggression. And I think that's one thing that football does. It gets rid of aggression, especially when you're a teenage boy. You've got a lot of aggression. You get all that testosterone going in there, and you just need a way to release it, and it is an organized way to release it. And even with all the studies they're finding now, I don't think it would persuade me or a lot of these other guys to stop their kids from playing. Or if I had a chance, if I was healthy enough and young enough right now, I'd go out and play right now. And you heard Travis say that yesterday. So is football an addiction?
No, I don't think football is an addiction, and I'd like to hear from our audience on this as well. I don't think it's an addiction, but from what I've heard from a number of players, we heard Travis Johnson say, you mentioned it, that he would do it all over again. Stanford Rout, whom you heard on this show earlier this week, I hosted a show with him in Houston, Alonzo, and he told me that he would do it all over again, even though he wakes up feeling really badly sometimes. My former co-host in Tampa Bay, now the Monday Night Football sideline analyst, Booger McFarland, has a middle finger that points at a right angle. Okay. When you notice him when you see him on TV, look at his right hand. Look at the middle finger that points at a right angle. And so what they've told me is, like, Mark, where I came from, this was the opportunity to make something of myself. This was the opportunity to become a millionaire. So the risks of what happens to you pales in comparison to the reward. And this is just kind of something I've been thinking about, you know, over the last few weeks and months. Is it now that we're educated, is it just, do we turn a blind eye? Are we pretending that the dangers don't exist? Do we not want to hear about it? Where I came from in Texas, Lonzo, and this was something that you couldn't really say to the higher ups, but in Texas, they didn't have individual high school football stadiums for each school. They had a county football stadium for each county, and all the teams from the county played in that particular football stadium when they played county games. They had the county games at all different times and at all different days. You'd have games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right? And these county stadiums were cathedrals. Half of the Division I-A FBS football programs don't have stadiums as nice as these county football stadiums in Houston, Texas. And I'm seeing these stadiums, and I'm reading the articles, and I'm seeing $40 million stadium goes up for Pasadena ISD, $5 million in renovations, and I'm saying it's unbelievable that here we have this organization that's charged with enriching the lives of kids, and they're building a $40 million cathedral that's going to do brain damage to them. Right? I mean, that's what it's doing, right? Is that not what it's doing? So, you know, have we just gotten to a point where we accept the dangers of football, and we're going to continue to do it anyway. And then my question to you would be, and you're a father, correct? You're a father. I mean, would you allow your kids to play football? Why or why not?
Yeah, I did. That's what I was saying earlier. My son did play. He wasn't very good at it. He was a better wrestler, but I mean, he went out and played. I think it was third grade. The teachers brought me in for a conference, and they said he's very aggressive to other students. He has too much energy. He can't get it out. We wanted to know if you would put him in football, because he would get all that out. And I was completely shocked, and I was trying to tell my wife that, well, I wanted him to play. And so this was like getting school endorsement to have him play. And I think if you ask him right now, even though his football career didn't turn out the way he wanted it to, he would go out and play again too, because it's not just about the danger. There's so much that goes into football and the camaraderie, all the things you learn. Without football, I couldn't look someone in the eye, because I just couldn't do it like I'm doing to you right now. Because my football coach made me. I learned how to be a man in a home that didn't really have a father in it. And, you know, you see all these stories about kids who grew up in a bad neighborhood. I did grow up in a bad neighborhood. People died in my neighborhood. There were three drug dealers that lived around me. There was a lot of tension going on, racial tension, all this kind of stuff. Football saved me from all of that. And, you know, I used to get picked on all the time. Once I got into football, they left me alone. So you take that away, you take a lot of these inner city kids, their opportunity to get out of that, their way to get away from all that, to go to a safe place. Even though all this violence is going on the field, it's controlled violence, and it's not all the crap you got to deal with if you're at home in your neighborhood.
There's no doubt about that. And football can be an escape. And I'm just, you know, it's so interesting to me. Have we reached a place of comfort with this where, yeah, it's bad for you. Yeah, it does brain damage. But yes, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing it anyway. All right. Two conference championship games coming up. You can still chime in on that topic if you'd like. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number to join us on the show. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming your way. Two conference championship games coming up this weekend. Keys to the games, leans to the games are coming up next. My name is Mark Ryan. You are listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. It is great to be here with you guys on a Friday Eve edition of the program. Taylor Estes, 24/7 Sports. What is the blueprint for beating Clemson? Is there a blueprint for beating Clemson at the collegiate level? She covers the Longhorns. That's one team that's trying to do it. And I think there's maybe 10 to 15 that have the Clemson Tigers in their sights. No easy task when you consider what that program has been able to do. Of course, we are coming up on conference championship weekend. Conference championship. Look, I love the conference championships. I think there's more compelling reasons to watch conference championship weekend this weekend than we've seen in recent years. Is this the last hurrah for Belichick and Brady? You've seen kind of a transition in their offense. You've seen kind of a transition in their offense, Belichick and Brady, to where Brady's not throwing for 400-plus yards a game anymore, where they're leaning more heavily on the running game. You know, in soccer, and you and I, Lonzo, had the debate soccer or wrestling yesterday on the show. Love that. In soccer, once a player hits 33, 34, they start coming off the bench for 25, 30 minutes a game. They don't play the whole 90 anymore.
I'm glad you told us that because, you know, I had no idea.
Are you being wise with me?
No, I seriously had no idea. Okay. I haven't watched enough soccer to know that.
But, so, you know, and Belichick seems to be doing that version with Tom Brady. You know, he seems to be kind of scaling it back a little bit, trying to take measures to keep Tom Brady fresh, right? And, he's not putting as much of a load on Tom Brady's shoulders. Kansas City's only favored by 3 points in this particular contest, and it's on the road at Kansas City, where home field advantage is typically worth 3 points. So that tells me on a neutral field, Vegas feels like it's an even split. I think Kansas City's got a major advantage in this game. I mean, I honestly, as a betting man, and you know, look, I always say bet only what you can afford to lose. But, you know, I do pretty well against the spread. I lean heavily toward Kansas City in this game. They have the MVP at quarterback. They have a more prolific offense. They have, in my opinion, a hungrier team. They have a day extra rest and a day extra prep than New England does in this game, who played a day later. I don't care what anybody says. When you have to travel, that's a huge advantage. That's, in effect, two extra days rest that Kansas City has. You know, because they played one day later, and then New England has a travel day going to Kansas City. And Bill Belichick is most effective, Lonzo, when he's got that extra week to prepare. There was no extra week to prepare for Kansas City. You had that epic game earlier in the year between the two teams that New England won very, very close. You have the revenge factor for Kansas City. And I know you're chomping at the bit as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, Lonzo. I really like Kansas City big from what I've seen in this game.
See, you mentioned the earlier when they played each other earlier. Here's the thing. If you watch that game, Mahomes, that's the only time I've seen him nervous all year long. I think he was nervous going up against Tom Brady for that first quarter, and he was making some mistakes. And then in that second half, they started coming back, and you could see the nerves were gone. He's not going to have nerves like that. He's faced Tom Brady once now. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. And I think they're going to come out, and they're going to win this game. And I know there are people like Josh Phillips, whoever that guy is, who doesn't believe that the Kansas City can win.
I love Josh. How could you be so mean to him, Lonzo? How could you do that?
I give what I get to him. Okay. I've known him a while to deal with that. No, listen, Kansas City's big Achilles heel has been their defense. Eric Berry is practicing. I don't know if that helps or hurts. I guess having him on the field as the defensive leader is a good thing, but the fact that, you know, he's played hardly, I think this will be, what, his second game this year? That's going to help, but it's not going to help that much. But the defensive front is starting to get some pressure. Are they going to sack Brady? Probably not, because no one seems to do that. But in a shootout right now, I'm going with the Chiefs, because I think the Chiefs have better receivers. And I know Brady has the experience. It's going to be very cold, and they're going to say that's advantage. They're saying that's advantage Brady. I don't know why. It was cold last week, but there's an Arctic blast coming, and it's going to be 0 degrees. Both those teams playing cold all the time. I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, look, this is the first time as well, when you look at the four teams that are remaining in the conference championships, this is the first time that you've ever had the four highest scoring offenses as the four that are remaining. And, you know, it makes you wonder, and I'm, you know, as an outside-the-box guy, Lonzo, I'm a guy that likes to refute things. I'm a guy that likes to disprove things like adages, right? And one of the old adages in football is blank wins championships. Defense wins championships. And here you have it. I mean, you've got the four highest-scoring teams are the teams that remain here. And that would seem to fly in the face of the defense wins championships mantra. So be that as it may, you know, I feel like this New England offense is no longer an electric offense. And I feel like the Kansas City's offense is the most dynamic offense in the entire league. So I, you know, in the end, it would be heartbreaking for Chiefs fans like yourself if the Kareem Hunt indiscretion was the difference between winning a Super Bowl and not winning a Super Bowl. And I think that really, really hurts them in terms of, you know, the dynamic nature of their running game. But the reality is, I just think the combination of Mahomes and Andy Reid at least gets them to a Super Bowl. I think it gets them to that point. Four highest scoring offenses in the league. And, you know, all the changes in the sport have been geared towards helping the offense. Kansas City number one at 35.3 points per game, followed by the Rams at 33, the New Orleans at 31.5, New England at 27 points a game. I mean, we had three teams average more than 30 points a game in the National Football League in the regular season for the first time in a very, very long time. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball, and where do these teams stack up defensively, right? Well, you know, you have Kansas City with a 31st overall defense, New England with a 21st overall defense, New Orleans with a 14th overall defense, and the Rams with a 19th overall defense. There isn't a defense among the top 13 in the NFL that's left here?
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, which defense out of these four would I fear the most? Which one would you fear the most? I know which one I would fear the most, and that would be, New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, because, you know, you've got the youth, you've got the talent, Marshawn Lattimore in the secondary. I mean, you've got a lot of young guys there that can really make a difference. But, I mean, the game is changing right before our eyes. You know, used to be a dominating defense one. I mean, what happened when the Seahawks played the Broncos and Peyton Manning? They throttled them with their defense. It was the defense that got it done. Now, with spread offenses, with the rules tailored to take the defense out of the game, with all of the personal fouls and late hits and suspensions and fines and so on and so forth, here you have a Final Four in the NFL with a top four highest scoring offenses and none of the top 13 defenses in the National Football League, and only one in the top 18. I mean, the Rams, the Patriots, and the Chiefs had bad defenses this year. The Kansas City Chiefs allowed 406 yards a game, and they're in the conference championship game. I mean, how is that possible, right? I mean, it's kind of like Loyola Marymount back in the day in college basketball. We're just going to outscore you. We're just going to outshoot you. The hell with defense. These teams are saying the hell with defense. New England, 359 yards allowed a game. Kansas City, 406. The Rams, 359. I mean, the game is changing. There's a seismic shift right before our eyes. Does defense really win championships? Well, I'm not willing to bury that after 1 year. But the best four teams in the league, defense is only a rumor to these guys. It truly is. All right, up next, Taylor Estes of 24/7 Sports joins the show. We're going to ask her, what is the blueprint for tackling Clemson? My name is Mark Ryan. He's Lonzo. And we are Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. Offsides on ESPN Upstate. My name is Mark Ryan alongside Lonzo. You know, it's funny, in live radio, a lot of times you have a lot of balls in the air that you're juggling. And I made a mistake. Like, I looked at my sheet again because we're calling the guest and the guest wasn't answering the phone. And I actually booked the guest at the wrong time. So, man. Hello, Mark. Welcome back to Earth here, buddy. I booked the guest at the wrong time, so that is my mistake, and we will try to get to Taylor Estes sooner rather than later. We do have Aaron Torres of Fox Sports coming up a little bit later. I'm kind of saving that as a surprise topic for you. And then we have Brian McFadden of CBS Sports, who's going to help us talk some NFL and some of these conference championship games at 3:30 this afternoon. So a lot of good stuff to get to here over the course of the program today. Of course, you are welcome to be a part of it as well. 1-844-477-3776. You can also text us on the Health Dare text line at 71307. So a lot of good stuff to get to between now and 4 p.m. today. Did you see the slate of the first week of college football is out, and it is an outstanding one. I mean, it is a really, really good one. I can't remember a time where there's been this many games that I've been excited to see. Auburn, Oregon, Florida versus Miami, Boise State versus Florida State, Utah and BYU, Georgia Tech and Clemson, South Carolina versus North Carolina, Duke versus Alabama, and Notre Dame at Louisville, all the first week of the season. Clemson's first three games might be their most difficult. They have seven bowl teams that they play this season, but the first three games, Georgia Tech, Texas A&M, and Syracuse, based on what we saw a year ago, might be the most difficult for Clemson. If you're Dabo, given where the ACC is, given that they have yahoos like me calling it the All Cupcakes Conference day after day, I really think you have to look at, you know, what can you do in the non-conference to really step that up. And they've scheduled Texas A&M. Sometimes if you play in a bad conference, look, they were still the best team in America. You know, and it always gets me, that whole, you know, you haven't played anybody argument always gets me. And, you know, I think teams like UCF and teams like Boise State, teams in the group of five really get hit hard with that, and because they don't have the resume. And I've never understood the resume argument, because we're supposed to be putting in the four best teams, right? If you're on the committee for the playoff committee, you're charged with putting in the four best teams. So if you could just follow me hypothetically here for a minute. If you put the Kansas City Chiefs in college football and gave them UCF's schedule and they beat everybody 80-2, you're going to tell me that they're not one of the four best teams because they haven't beaten anybody, because their resume doesn't stack up with Ohio State, with Alabama. You're charged with putting the four best teams in the playoffs, right? To a certain degree, you can't help your schedule. You can't help the teams in your conference. I don't think that should count against Clemson, do you? I mean, I really don't. They've proven now, they've shown themselves to be, you know, the elite program in college football, and I don't believe that should hurt them anymore.
Well, one thing that they could do to alleviate some of the talk is to schedule better non-conference games and with bigger and better opponents. As far as their conference goes, you can only play who's in your conference. If your conference sucks, it's not your fault. It's their fault. So, but I would like to see them play some better competition, especially now that they are an elite team. They've won a national championship twice in the last few years. Schedule some bigger teams.
Well, and so, see, sometimes that works against you, right? Because, you know, Alabama schedules Louisville in what's supposed to be a big blockbuster game, and you can't predict what a team is going to be like 3 years from now. Right, you have no idea what they're going to be like 3 years from now.
See, I do know what you're saying, but there are some teams like your Ohio States, like your Alabama, some teams like that. They're always, even if they're not the best they've been, they're still probably in a 9-10 winning a team, so they're going to be pretty good. Louisville, I mean, how often has Louisville been good?
Still, it was the neutral field, big time game to start the season, Alabama and Louisville, right? And Louisville, you know, was in a down year. No more Lamar Jackson, no more elite playmakers at the skill positions. But, you know, look, I think you have to evaluate teams more than anything. You have to make it subjective. Everyone is trying to make the subjective objective, and it's always got to be subjective in college football because of the different conferences and because not every team plays everybody. You've got to guess, using your eyes, whom the four best teams are in the country. And if you have a team the caliber of the Chiefs, hypothetically, playing UCF schedule and rolling everybody by 70 points, they deserve to be in the national championship game. They absolutely deserve to be in that. So I won't even hear any argument against Clemson that they don't play anybody. Now, the reverse of that is South Carolina has the most difficult schedule in college football next season, right? I mean, they've got an absolutely killer schedule. I think Will Muschamp is really up against it because if he puts out another 6-6 season, the natives here are going to be restless. And it's, you know, and 6-6 against the schedule they have coming up is no small feat. Bowl eligibility, given South Carolina's schedule, is no small feat coming up this season. So, you know, everything here is relative. And, you know, I think you can't penalize Clemson for what's not in their control. I don't think you can do that. What an opening week, though. Auburn, Oregon, Florida, Miami, Boise State, Florida State, Utah, BYU, Georgia Tech, Clemson, South Carolina, North Carolina, Duke, Alabama, Notre Dame at Louisville. Do any of those, Lonzo, jump out to you?
I mean, it's not bad for an opening weekend, but there's not one that says, hey, man, watch me. At least not to me.
Yeah, there isn't that one marquee game. There isn't that one marquee game, but there's a lot of good ones. Man, South Carolina's schedule next year. You open up with North Carolina. Look, that's, in my opinion, should be a win for South Carolina. Then again, I had the Gamecocks rolling over Virginia in the bowl game, so what do I know? But, I mean, you've got Alabama at Missouri. Kentucky's now in beast mode, and they've got Kentucky at home, at Georgia, Florida, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M, and Clemson. I mean, it's as hard as it gets. You're playing Alabama and Clemson in the same season, plus at Georgia, Florida, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M. I mean, that's a brutal schedule. if you're a South Carolina fan, if you call yourself a Gamecock fan, what's the goal next season? Like, what do you define as a successful season next year? Because I get the sense that many are going to perceive, a 6-6 kind of as treading water. And, you know, when I did my audition for this station here, Lonzo, you know, I opened by saying South Carolina. I picked South Carolina to upset Clemson next season. There is now a bet on the line there for that. Are you aware of the bet, by the way?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I don't know what the payoff is.
Oh, the payoff is dinner.
The payoff
is dinner.
Actually, I commented on that, and I said when you win, you need to make sure that you tell John. Let's say you were going to have dinner at 5 o'clock, you tell Josh to be there at 4:30.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Then he'll show up at 5 and you'll be good.
Okay. So he's a day late is what you're saying.
He runs on Josh time.
Okay.
I mean, that's not entirely a bad thing, but you know.
You know, I've kind of found the whole area to be kind of relaxed. The whole area is just, you know, it's kind of very chill here. You know, slower paced, relaxed, everybody's cool, everybody's okay.
See, I used to have a band, and our guitarist would never show up on time. So I started telling him, you know, practice is at 2:30, even though practice was at 3. And then he would get there at 3, and we'd be able to get going.
Have you ever dated anybody that you had to do that with? I have. Well, you've had to, like, you've had to give them an hour leeway time. Hey, can you please be here at 6? And knowing that you really need them there at 7. You ever done that? And then the one time they actually show up at 6 and you're not ready for another hour, they're ticked, right? I mean, you're planning ahead for that the entire time. No, but, you know, Josh, I don't know what he was doing, Lonzo, but I think he was, like, picking out the nicest restaurants in the area, almost positive he's going to win. How do you guys feel about this bet for me? In next year's South Carolina and Clemson game, I get the Gamecocks and 15 points. The game's at South Carolina. I get the Gamecocks and 15 points. I get more than 2 touchdowns in a home game for an SEC team that should be pretty decent. Even if the record is 6-5, 5-6 heading into that game, it's more in line with a brutal schedule than it is any slight on South Carolina this year. Did I make a good bet, or does Josh Phillips have me beat? 1-844-477-3776 is the number. You can also text us on the Health Dare text line right here at 71307. All you have to do on the text line is text ESPN first and then your message, and we will be able to get right to you. Okay, lots of fun stuff still coming up on the show today. We've got Aaron Torres coming up at 2:30, Bryant McFadden coming up at 3:30. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. ESPN Upstate, you're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan. Happy Friday Eve, one and all. Great to be with you guys today. Lots of fun stuff coming your way. Is there a blueprint to beating Clemson? Taylor Estes will join us at 2 p.m. So kind of her to reschedule with me. I was the one that screwed up the time. You know, you move to a new place, Central Time, Pacific Coast Time, East Coast Time. I got all my times mixed up right now, but she's going to be joining us at 2 p.m. Aaron Torres, a national college basketball personality and a national Fox Sports radio show host. He joins us at 2:35. And then Bryant McFadden, you know him from his days as a cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll help us preview the weekend NFL conference championship games. He's coming up at 3:30 this afternoon. I don't know if you saw this, Lonzo, but Bob Costas is leaving NBC. Bob Costas is leaving NBC, which is something I never thought would happen. He was so tied to that particular brand, right? Completely tied to that particular brand. And, you know, it's interesting to see kind of like, you know, where he's going to go and what's going to happen and everything like that. And we all have announcers when you're watching a game, right? We all have announcers that, you know, you want to watch the game because they're on, or you want to turn off the volume because they're on. Right. Who are your favorite and least favorite announcers in all of sports. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Anytime the following guys are on TV, I'm watching. I love what they do. I love what they're about. I love what they add to the game. Reese Davis, for me, is number one. Chris Fowler is number two. Tony Romo is number three. My computer is telling me I'm about to be logged off, and I don't want to be logged off, and I'm none too pleased with this right now. Those are my three go-tos right now, Lonzo. Reese Davis is number one. Chris Fowler's number two. Tony Romo, what a natural he is, right? I mean, when you are just naturally gifted at something, you can just hear somebody for the first time, and you say, he's got it. Gus Johnson in college basketball, Gus Johnson in college football, I mean, he could be calling Appalachian State against Wofford, no offense to either school, and he's convincing me that it's the biggest thing on television right now, right? I'm totally transfixed. I'm totally into it. Tony Romo, his energy is infectious right now. I mean, he's an infectious personality on the air. I mean, he's got childlike enthusiasm for all the nuances going on in the game.
Yeah, but he flies in the face of how people are taught to be the color guy. I mean, because he's just being him. And, you know, everybody else is so structured. You do things this way. I wonder, is this going to catch on? Are there going to be other people? I mean, Jason Witten is trying to be that, and he's failing, in my opinion.
You know, it was interesting. It was kind of like the thought was, well, we got one cowboy. Let's throw another cowboy on there, and we'll have another Tony Romo.
Well, and I think they were roommates, too, so maybe they talk alike.
And I have nothing against Jason Witten personally, but the reality is my former co-host, Booger McFarland, is just a much better commentator, a much better host. Booger should be in the booth. They'd be fine with a two-man booth, Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland, and not having Jason Witten there at all. And, you know, look, we're an ESPN affiliate. I don't have a problem saying that. I'm just being real with you. I'm being real with you about how I see it and about how I feel. You know, that's just the way that it goes. Let's get to Mike, who has a comment and wants to chime in. Mike, thanks for the call. You're offsides. Thanks for the call, bud.
Thank you. First time calling to this show. Welcome to ESPN Upstate.
Man, it means the world to me, Michael. Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate the kind words. How are you?
I'm doing good. My go-to guy during football season is Brad Nessler. That's if he's on.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's fantastic. And you know, I've met him. I've spoken to him. I've exchanged emails with him, Mike. He's as nice a guy as you could come across, too. I mean, he is so darn friendly. You know, I mean, the guy that you're hearing on TV, there's a lot of guys who are different on the air and off the air, right? Nice on the air, total jerks off the air. Brad Nessler's as good as they come, man. What do you like about him?
Well, I just like how he pretty much describes everything to a T. I hate that he's no longer with ESPN because I loved the combination of him and Black Lynch. Those were my favorite. That was my favorite two combinations, listening to those two guys call the game.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I mean, Brad Nessler, I left him off my list. You know, Reese Davis, Chris Fowler, Tony Romo, Gus Johnson are the guys that I love. Joe Buck, I'm kind of neutral on, you know, Brad Nessler, his I used to remember AOL Instant Messenger. Why did that die, Lonzo? Because of text messaging, right?
Yeah,
because it was
so
easy to text people that AOL Instant Messenger died. But I really liked it. I like connecting with people on the computer. His AOL Instant Messenger handle was Nestea, like the iced tea, right? And I would chat with him on AOL Instant Messenger every once in a while. He was fantastic. Just an incredibly great dude. Really, really great dude. So I'll tell you what, we've got Taylor Estes coming up, but I'm also going to share with you the two announcers that are my least favorite, and I have stories, personal stories, as to why that is the case.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.